Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You are listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprungs disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprungs with a positive message throughout.
I am delighted to be joined by two people with Hirschsprungs this morning, Gemma and Carl. Gemma and Carl, welcome to the podcast. Now, you are father-daughter, so obviously Hirschsprungs has been passed as well. And Gemma, your daughter, and Carl, your granddaughter, has Hirschsprungs as well. And we're going to talk about, I mean, not just the fact that it has passed through, or Hirschsprungs has passed through three generations, but you've also got a very rare genetic form, I guess. I know we'll talk about it a little bit later, of Hirschsprungs that's been passed through, which I'm fascinated to find out with. So I guess we'll kind of start as we always do, and kind of start from the beginning, if you will.
Yeah.
Right.
On to you then.
Well, I'm Dan. I'm Carl. I was born in 1960. Obviously, I had Hirschsprungs. I'm not 100% certain of all of these, because my parents have passed away now. But I believe that was about 3.5 weeks I was diagnosed.
See, back then, it wasn't heard of a lot.
Oh, wasn't it?
They weren't 100% sure what it was.
I was in hospital for nearly 3 years. Three years. In total, my last operation was 3.5 years. So them days, we weren't allowed to laugh. They had to do things to distract me from laughing. The operation I had is large. I've got all my stomach completely full of scars. Whereas my daughter's...
It's one
big little tiny scar. So progression is amazing in the 64 years.
And Jessica's in small... I mean, Monica's right across my tummy, but Jessica's is like that.
On the curvies.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Well, lots of little ones, but the biggest one is about that big, and that's where stoma was.
True. All my school life was hard. I had a hard school life because no one understood. And you get bad wind and you get sound goes to the toilet. Then you have to go to the toilet and then you have to be close to the toilet. And it's just nightmare. But living through it, looking back on it now, I think I could quite well. A lot of support of my family. I could then pass all that information on to Gemma, but she suffered different.
Yeah.
A lot different than I do, you know.
Tell the most earlier part of the story because I can't remember.
No. Well, how I do it.
Also, After my nanny died, which was nearly 17 years ago, my dad got through stroke. We thought it was through stroke.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really like chronic
hiccup.
Hiccup.
24 hours.
Really, really bad.
Timmy's.
And it was 24 hours a day, and it was very dramatic. Oh. Hot, and would keep him up in the night, making him sick, stopping breathing. Because it was so dramatic, wasn't it? He couldn't eat anything. If soon as he ate anything, it would come up again. Went to hospital, and it was aspirin. And you now still get it. It's not as bad.
Scoot twice now to check see if there was any sort of some kind of cancer or something to do. You know, didn't know what it was. Everything was clear.
Yeah.
Then it'd go off, and then 3 or 4 weeks later, I'd come back for 2 or 3 weeks. And when I say come back, I mean the hiccups were so violent.
Yeah.
My chest felt. I felt over half. Really, really bad.
However, we've now recently, because we will go into this more later on when we're speaking a bit more about Jessica, but we had genetic testing done. And they're now thinking it could be due to Hirschsprung's. Linked to Hirschsprung's.
Because it's all part of the nervous system.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
Well,
my dad's going to, because my daughter was genetically tested, but then I want dad to have it done, which we're going to do.
Oh, yeah, they'll,
and they're going to see if it's linked.
The hospital might have to jump through hoops at the moment. They're that excited about it, the geneticist, because of this rare, how rare we are. And he said, and I said about the haircuts, and Gemma said the issue she's have. And he went, oh, right. And he wrote things down. Yep. And he said, oh, would you mind a genetic, you know, a test? Said, yeah, definitely. And we said, you know, about the hiccups. Yes, possible. And he sort of like, oh,
yeah.
He said, I'll have to investigate that because the hiccups, he said, is part of the
gene that we've
the vagus nerve,
yeah,
which is part of the gene
that is defective.
It's defective, you see. And he said, well, I could do it. So that means some of your listeners to think about if they get hiccups, that possibly could have. But I've never had it since my mum died. I just had sort of my last bout of hiccups,
yeah,
about 2 weeks ago.
Mm.
But that's not as severe now as it was.
No. We always thought that it was stress related because
It
would always happen around the time when you were stressed out.
And I was stressed out, yeah.
So that's which is what made us and the doctors think that. When we brought it up to the geneticist, he was like, no, it could be linked. That is a strong possibility.
That's one to sort of keep hold of, you know. But he said, oh, he's worth investigating for.
Well, it did, yeah.
So
it's really interesting.
If I can get a diagnosis of it, saying he has part of it, then I can live with it. That's half the cure. If you know what that's about.
Absolutely.
Because we just couldn't go. I still do anything, couldn't in my life. Couldn't work. Well, I worked through it, but we've been sick all the time. You had the hiccups for kicking your headaches and all sorts, all down to hiccups.
With Hirschsprung's as well.
And then the Hirschsprung's as well, I was having problems with. So, but so the problems with Hirschsprung's really doesn't affect me.
Yeah,
it's to them.
Yeah.
Any difference.
Oh, you really do deal with it, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know any different. So to me, this is normality. I don't know what it's like knocked out.
We always have a chat about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
We're a little gang, you see. We're your Hirschsprung's gang. Me and my daughter and my granddaughter.
Yeah.
So the rest of the family can go away. We're in our little group.
Beep.
Charm. I'm sitting there. She's like, charming. But I've been through it too. So I've been married to one, been a mother to one, and a grandmother to one.
We just get on with it, don't we? We do just kind of, I guess because... What choice is there? You know, what else do you do? But
exactly.
we do just kind of, but if we were to write down, you know, in a month or whatever, or a year, what we deal with, you know, the pains or the stomach cramps or, you know, all of this, that, the other, to write them down and show to a doctor, they'd probably put you in hospital for a week. Because they go, what the hell is this? But it's like, well, we just get on with it.
We're quite passionate. So we're quite passionate about helping people.
We are, yeah.
Me and Gemma, we're very passionate. The other Hirschsprung's community.
Yeah.
To understand what we go through as help them with their...
Because once a year, my doctor's surgery, because I've had 3 cesareans with my girls, they know I've had Hirschsprung's. They don't bring that up. And they always ring me up and go, oh, you've had 3 cesareans. Is there any chance that you come in and just talk to our students, please? So I go in to talk about the cesareans. Mention that I had Hirschsprung's and that my daughter would had Hirschsprung's, and that's it. The cesareans can do one. They want to know all about Hirschsprung's. They don't want to know about anything else because they, oh, we got told at university we'd never ever meet anyone with Hirschsprung's disease is what one of them told me once. I was like, well, now you've met someone who's got 3 people in the family. So, and then what? No, all they're not interested in cesareans. They just want to know about that. And then I end up and just sit there for an extra hour, talk to them about that. So it is people, you know, students and that really find it. So I do that once a year. And they're fascinated and they're all writing notes and getting all excited because they've met someone with it.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's fantastic. But again, we are so rare, aren't we? In the fact that, I mean, that's part of the reason why I started this, because I didn't know anyone with it. So I thought, well, I wonder if I can find people. I wonder, and I managed to find about 70-odd. But
yeah,
imagine if I can find, you know, people. But it is a little bit needle in a haystack stuff, isn't it? Because
we are unique.
Yes.
I've got plenty of work.
Yeah, we all go back. Let's find we're unique, so.
Yes. And on that unique point, I know there was something you wanted to talk about. I know, obviously, Hirschsprungs makes you unique in terms of the one in 5,000. But there's sort of correct me if I'm wrong, but there's another genetic reason as to why you're unique. Did you want to talk about that as well?
I want to find out.
Complex, isn't it? But my story in a minute and my daughter's story. But what they asked if they could do the genetic testing on my daughter to find out why we haven't, because she's the third one in a line of us who's got it, obviously. And they wanted to find out what the reason was, because we have no other medical conditions. And usually it's linked to boys, and mainly boys, and mainly children with Down syndrome, is what we've always been told. And that dad was told, or my grandparents were told, that he would never move, he'd never pass it on. That's what that in the 60s and 70s, that's what they were told. They will never pass it on. So obviously when I was born in 83, and then I had it, my nanny was
hilarious. Oh, terrible.
Interested. Would you mind if we did the genetic testing on your daughter, General? I was like, I'll ask her. I mean, she was about, she's 13 now, so she must have been about 11 when they did it. And I said to her, do you mind? She said, no, I don't mind, because she's as interested in helping people as what we are. So so she did the blood test and everything. It took a while, because they've been doing it at the University at Cambridge. So they came and did it, took all the tests and stuff like that. And then I got a call, it must have been about a year into it. It took a long time. And they said, could you come and see us? Because we're from Norwich. So the Norwich Norfolk Hospital. So yeah, that's fine. So I took my daughter up there. They said, bring your daughter with you so we can talk to her as well. So I took her with me. And they said, so we think we've found the gene that you have. We're not 100% sure if that is the one. We need to do more testing. And start talking to me about how it affects families, and he said, but we're not 100% sure because we're always testing it all the time. And I can't remember a huge amount of that conversation, if I'm honest, because it went straight over my head. But it was very much, you know, we're still looking, and do you mind if we keep looking? I had to sign permission with them to keep testing stuff and looking at different things. So anyway, about a month or so ago, I got a letter, didn't I, to say, we found it. Could you come in? So I was like, yeah, of course I will. They're hiding the letter. They sent a letter within a week, and they wanted me in a week later. And basically, they found a gene called FOX2B, which they said ours is a lot shorter than he said, however, yours is incredibly rare because there's only one other family with three generations in the world that has the same gene cut off at the same time, who don't have any other conditions that come with that gene deformity, for me sake. So that gene is formed before your body is formed. It's literally in the embryo. And that is the gene that starts. He said it literally is when you look at an embryo, just as it's turning into a human, it'll have like a line, like almost like the spine, and it sits on that. And then it literally say it's on top of your head. He said it will come down, and he said it forms your nervous system. He said, and as it moves down your body, at a certain point, yours has just stopped working, and that is where Hirschsprungs kicked in.
Is when you form a gene, letters and numbers, you have multiple letters and numbers. So what they got to FOX, which is PHOX, 2B.
Yeah.
But then you can have FGH3, 9, 7.
Yeah.
And your genes can keep going. But that is a very short
Fox 2B.
It's very short.
Yeah.
And then that's why it didn't, that didn't.
Kidney severed nerve.
Yeah.
That's the rear part.
Yeah. And that's why the gene, that's why the nerves are not in the bowel.
Yeah. And that's what that makes sense. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But he said that that gene also, there's two other conditions that come with that gene if it's deformed. And that is neuroblastoma and it's a breathing problem, basically. And it's to do with the lungs. And people have died, children have died from it. It's from birth. These two conditions are from birth. So I freaked out. I was like,
yeah, we don't.
I just had neuroblastoma and thought, well, that's a brain tumor. It doesn't mean I'm going to get one later on in life. But he said, no, from birth. So he said, and what it is, people with that deformity in the with that gene would have one of those two, either both or one of them, and then get Hirschsprung's as well on top of that. But we haven't got those other two. We've just got the Hirschsprung's. So there's only two families in the
world. Well, Hirschsprung's linked to this gene only, rather than other things branching off.
Yeah.
But the other thing he did say, you definitely got to get this breathing deformity.
No.
You definitely got to get this brain thing.
No.
It's actually there.
Say that if you were going to get the brain thing, that develops by the time you're seven.
And that boy does, yeah. Somebody said that.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. Children have brain tumors around that age.
You don't want people.
No.
But if you get to seven and you haven't got brain of thought,
oh, yeah, no, I'm going to get it. You're not going to get it. Yeah. It's in an infant. It's in childhood. Right. But there's only one other family, like I said, who have got the same. So that's why we keep saying we're
going to be unique. We'll have a bit of laughter at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess with the other family as well, I know there's HIPAA laws and all of that stuff, but they didn't tell you roughly what country this family is in or whatever, where they are.
Oh, yeah.
Did.
Asian, was an Asian cast?
Asian.
Asian,
we think.
In Asia, somewhere in
Asia. Oh, no, that was something different. Yeah, that family. He tried to link to see if that they had other issues.
Oh, right.
They had like eye problems with their eyes. So that was something different. He thought it was them, but it wasn't. And when he said, actually, they might be in America, but he's not 100%
not sure. But that, we can't be precise about that.
No.
Because obviously he was very, he would give no information about it.
Yeah, because
he's confident. Rightly so, we totally agree with that as well. True. But yeah, that's.
But yeah, that was really interesting.
A little bit, but I've got a bit of a headache, brother. Electrogeneticist, I had a little bit of a headache. I thought, oh, what on earth did he say? But we went home and had a talk about it and sort of understand a bit more now, don't we?
Yeah.
But they had sent us letters now.
Yeah.
Filled forms in, travel genetics done, and all these extra tests done.
We also found out, because obviously I'm the eldest of six and I'm the only one who's got it. My siblings never got it. And we also found out that there is they would like to actually test my siblings as well, because they've three of my siblings have had children and none of them have got it either. So I said the chances of them, my siblings, having it is slim, but there's still a chance. So they'd like to know if they've got that gene, because if they've got, say for example, my brother who has two children, they're all okay and haven't got Hirschsprung's, however they still could carry the gene, which means they still could carry it on later on.
So like if one of the granddaughters, say, has got the gene, they find that one of the granddaughters has got a gene,
yeah,
then they can offer them IVF later on down the line, and so they can eradicate it.
Yeah, at embryo stage, they can get rid of the. They can like almost like clean the embryo. But they've offered that to Jessica, my daughter, as well, and they've said to her that if you want to have IVF, she doesn't want to. She said, no, I'm not doing that, because that could take chance away from me having children at all. If they could do that every time I have a baby, I may never have one, because IVF don't always work. You know, she's only 13, but even she could think of that one. But I said, but we live with it, and that is as awful as it is. I had two children before I had Jessica, and they ain't got it. So who's to say that she's going to pass it on?
Yeah.
You know?
You're one first.
Yeah.
And I really stopped. We had five more.
Yeah.
Yeah, three boys and three girls.
Yeah, I think so, it was a personal choice. It is a personal choice, yeah. You know, I had six children. You had, my first child had it.
Yeah.
And then every time I then went on to have another child, I was petrified. I mean, I was absolutely petrified that I'd then have another child with it. Because at this stage, I didn't know how Gemma would. I always thought Gemma wouldn't be able to have children. And I would worry. I was worried about so much about her. And then I kept having the children. And I kept thinking, oh, if I have another one, I don't think I could cope. So I would have personally have liked to have had the chance of having the embryos cleaned. You know, for me, that would have been a yes for me. But I think that's a personal choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A person's...
It's very interesting.
It's really, really interesting, especially as you say that you're the eldest of six and your other five siblings don't have Hirschsprungs. And then you have... And then you have three daughters and one has Hirschsprungs and the other two don't have Hirschsprungs.
The youngest has had Hirschsprungs.
Yes, I thought... with it. So I kept having them and then she was born and I was like, oh, there we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Didn't get away with that one that easily, did I?
And she's like, well, she's...
Well, all of us, we've all had about 2/3 removed, of our life intestines removed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then obviously I was born in 83.
Yeah.
You can tell because I wasn't really...
I remember when I was 83. Because of the history of Hirschsprungs, Gemma did pass the meconium straight away. So my wife then ran and raved to the hospital, said, look, you know, this Hirschsprungs in our family... Couldn't be that. Then I think they ignored that for a little while, didn't they? They dismissed it for a while.
In 93, they don't like...
They don't like to be told what to do.
Like, told that...
Yeah.
That you self-diagnose. I mean, you can today, but back then...
They dismissed it they just completely dismissed it. I said, no, well, lucky enough, my wife was quite persistent and kept saying, look, well, you know, it's something wrong here. We got Hirschsprungs disease. Can you please look at it? 5 days later, we went into the hospital and all of a sudden that was all hell that broke loose. They had an ambulance at the door. Two ambulance drivers came in. We're taking it to Great Ormond Street. And that was I didn't have a chance to pack, do anything. So my wife went down in the ambulance. I followed in the car. Absolutely terrified.
He said, didn't he? The ambulance driver said, if my blue wheel was still on, do you not follow me?
I said, you've got no chance, mate. You wouldn't lose me. Can you imagine saying to her father that happened? Anyway, we got to Great Ormond Street and tiny little bundle she was, and put her on this massive thing. Never seen old surgery. Didn't have a clue what was going on. Didn't have a clue, but they were absolutely amazing. A great old thing. Explained all to us. And we went through all that, and she went through hell. She 2 weeks in the hospital. You brought her on, then she went 6 months later, in January.
First, didn't
they? Yeah.
Because I was the first one to have it in two operations.
Yeah, well, what they'd done the first one. They'd done the pull-through in the following January. And then Mr. Brereton, her surgeon, called my wife, Mark, and I and said, we've got to try to do it in two operations, a pull-through. So we've got to do... They should have been open, I've never done it before. We've got to try it. We said, right, okay, do you give information? We said, well, yeah, obviously. So anyway, that was successful. They done it. And he called us in the office, Mr. Brereton, and he said, it's actually gone into the medical journal. The first one we've ever done in two. That's what he told us.
It didn't. Well, I'm a unique twice, so.
But we'd understand word what you're saying to us, where we'd have a clue what was going on.
You had a colostomy, didn't you?
I
had a colostomy for how many months must I have had one then?
8 months, 6 months?
The station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Cal?
Yes, it's yeah.
Because then she had to do the washouts, but she was amazing as a little baby. Oh, she's so good, weren't she? She was amazing. Now, we went through, had all that done, and that was brilliant. The problems, Gemma, I'll just tell her this bit, because then she'd carry on after this. The biggest problem she used to get is prolapse.
Yeah.
She used to get a lot of prolapse. Yeah. A hell of a lot.
Stumpy.
In fact, she dealt with it herself as a child. She's, what dirt, because my wife done it at first. Did you? And eventually she wanted to do it herself, and she was amazed. She'd done it, you know. Oh, she
used to mess myself a lot. I hear it a lot. That's just something that comes with her, unfortunately.
But anyway, the rest of the story, I think she'd tell herself. Yeah. So you remember that, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. So I can remember like things like I'd sleep around my grandparents' house, and I would get up in the night, and mum and dad would always send me like loads of knickers just in case. And I know that I would get up and I'd moss myself again. So I'd even at the age of like six, I'd wash it under the sink and hang it over the edge of the bath and all that type of thing. And that's just, again, didn't know any different. So you just get on with it, don't you? School was difficult. I had a really good group of friends around me, one in particular I'm still friends with to this day. If I go, I really need to go, she'd grab me by the hand and run me. And I'm going to like pull me through crowds, tell people to get out of the way. She would get me to a toilet. The schools were always fantastic, though. They would give me toilet passes and let me go when I needed to go. They were always, I don't know what your schools were like. But
no, mine were no bit.
Actually, we went to the same school, didn't we, Dad? But by the time I went there, it was completely different. And you could go. And I think I was left to mess myself once at infant school. And Mum absolutely kicked off big time, as you can imagine. But yeah, that it was just I things like what you said a minute ago. I don't know any different, so I don't know.
It was normal or not?
What was normal for me? That was so. I just dealt with it. I never really whinged.
No,
I never have done really. I mean, I now have a stomach pain 24/7. It never goes. I've got one right now. It never goes away. It's like a dull ache all the time. But I don't whinge about it. I don't go on about it. I get on with my day. I still have had children and lived as normal life as I can. You know, like my husband's a bit of a whinge bag when it comes to being poorly. But when I go, what? Sort of thing. But I just don't, because I've always lived with it, I don't know any different. So you just get on with it, don't you? You know? I mean, I feel like I need the toilet 24/7 as well. That's something that's happened over the last 3 or 4 years, which is why I had to have a colonoscopy last week, and they've now found I've got diverticulitis as well. No, I say.
You need to have something else.
Why not?
Teeth bulged. So, still that as well now. But, and they weren't helpful either, because they went, well, you're just going to have to live with it, is what the man said to me. I was like, what? So I wasn't like, I'd just completely been left in the dark. But yeah, but school, like I said, school was great. Had a few accidents at school, would get a lot of tummy pains, blah, blah, blah. As I got older, again, just lived with it. Had managed to have three healthy daughters. First one, she's actually sitting right there. She's nearly 20 now. But she had her, nearly couldn't have any more children because I had to have, she was 7 weeks early because I got preeclampsia. So I had to have 7 weeks early. So I had to have an emergency cesarean, and they almost cut through my fallopian tubes because you know how it should go like this? Mine was like that, and they nearly cut right through them because they didn't know that they were like that. Because I said, well, why is that happened? They said, because of your last surgeries for Hirschsprungs, everything, and you've got so much scar tissue, everything has like grown back and everything's like moved around and yours has just done this rather than stay like that. I was like, ah, and they said, and we were millimetres from cutting both through both because we didn't know it was like it. So painfully, but they went, scam, where they should be. It's not right. They went, you were really lucky to get pregnant. I was like, really? They went, yeah, because they were almost twisted as well because of the hash runs. I was like, wow, okay then. And then had my second daughter 3 years later. That went, pregnancy was fine. Hirschsprungs, you know, would just get in the way, but just live with it again. Had another C-section with her. That all went fine. And then we had Jessica.
Yeah, she went.
And it all hit,
yeah, bully up there,
it,
yeah.
Hit the fan. I won't say the word I want to say, but it all hit the fan.
Literally.
You can say the word. It's absolutely fine.
It's fun. I mean, that's what we get raised and talk about. She was born in 2012. I had a C-section again because of my last surgeries. They said it was too dangerous to push her out. So I had a cesarean. And the cesarean itself was awful because of the four surgeries I'd had before in that area. I had so much scar tissue. They got her out fine, but I had so much scar tissue that all of my organs had fused together. So my bowels attached to my bladder and blah, 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 blah. And they said, it's too dangerous to close you back up like this. We need to separate it all. So I lulled on the table, on the slab, as it were, wide awake. And they stopped working. And my mum was with me. I said, what on earth's going on? And the surgeons obviously heard me, put her head over the curtain. She went, I'm really sorry, but blah, 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 blah. All the stuff is stuff. They were waiting for a general surgeon, but he's in another surgery. So they came back about an hour and a half later. I laid there with all my stomach gaping and everything. He came in and he went, oh, yeah, this is bad. Great. Thanks, buddy. So I ended up, so my dad and my husband were outside. Didn't have a clue what was going on, did you? They were trying to find them because they went for a coffee or whatever and said to my husband, no more children. If she has another child, that's going to kill her. So I was not. So he.
He looked like Zelda there as well.
As well. So
oh, Lord.
The collapse if he was on his own, but luckily dad was there. But got her out fine. Perfect little baby, 6'3", tiny, all this dark hair, absolutely stunning. And then literally that evening, I had her in the morning. That evening, I thought something isn't right. She had her tummy was swollen. She looked very pale, a bit sweaty. She just didn't look right. And I just said to the surgeon come around to see me after my C-section to make sure. I said, let's come and look at my daughter, please. Something isn't right. She hasn't pooed yet. We've got Hirschsprungs in the family. I had it. My dad had it. Please, can someone come and see her? It took them about a day and a half to come and see her. She wasn't feeding. I was breastfeeding her. Everything that she ate just came straight back up again. And they were like, oh, and all the midwives were like, oh, you know, she's fine, she's fine, she'll pick mint. And I was like, but that's, I mean, what are you listening? After a day, the surgeon then came to see her, the actual surgeon who actually, and is still her surgeon to this day, I mean, she's 13 now, so that's how long he's been in our lives, actually came to see her with all his students, looked up, her tummy looked like a big blister. That came later on. She her tummy was just so swollen that it was veiny. It was like stretched. It was like shiny. And I was like, but look at her stomach. There's something wrong. I think she's passed like a quarter of a pea size of meconium. So that's why they thought, oh, she hasn't got hash browns then. I swear it was like a tiny little nugget. So I was like, no, there's something. This isn't right. She's not eating. Everything that is going in is coming out again. I said, please just check. No, she's fine. Moved her legs about, all that. And I was like, right. So three days I was in. Then they sent me home. By day five, she was being sick. And I mean, it wasn't even milk. It was brown. It stuck. There was still hadn't pooed. It was awful. And I rang them. They gave me their number, the ward that I was on. And they said, ring us if you need any help. So this is in the middle of the night. I couldn't ring my midwife. So I rang them. And they laughed at me and said, oh, looks like you're in for a tough night, dear, she said to me. My daughter is sitting up, but it's meant. So I need someone. So I had to ring my midwife, and my midwife actually was absolute. She was with me for all my pregnancies. She's phenomenal. It's just
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
She came out the next day. She went, I can't get her to about 1. Is that okay? So I said, yeah, it's fine. So she came, she went, can I see you feed her, please? So I fed her. Within seconds, all came up. And it was just brown, slodgy. It was just disgusting. And I said, she's got hash browns, isn't she? She went, I'm not ruling that out, but don't panic. It may not be. So she weighed her and she'd lost over 12% of her birth weight. She's gone down to 5.8 pounds. So I was like, see, I knew it. And anyway, she went off, made a phone call. She went, oh, you need to go to the hospital now. So I thought, I just knew it. So I went up there and the same surgeon, put his finger up my bum, all of it, whatever was in her bowel just came flooding out, and he kept putting his finger up there and more came out. She was screaming bloody murder. I mean, you can imagine how tiny she was. She was 5'8", just minute. And he actually sent me out the room because I was so distressed by watching this, and I just had this awful C-section as well. So I went out the room. My husband took me out and they went, we need to keep her in overnight. We're going to have to test her for Hirschsprung's disease. So this was day 5. Day 6, she's put into a separate room in NICU. They did the test, but I wasn't allowed to be in the room, he said, because it's not very nice. And they took 5 biopsies, every centimetre from her rectum, every centimetre up of her large intestine. And he said, it won't take long, but it might take a couple of days. Within, I think it was about 12 hours, he came to find me. He said, look, I wouldn't normally say this to parents of children, I think, I may have hash browns, but because you've got the family history and you are know so much about it, I'm 70% sure she has it. Because in the biopsies we've done so far, we can't find any ganglion cells. So, right, okay. So I was like, I knew it. And then within, I should think that was another 6 to 12 hours, he confirmed that she had it. But they think that she, but he said, but we're in the last biopsy, we can find one cell. There's one there, which means she's not going to be long segment like you and your dad. She's going to be short segment. I was like, right, okay. He said, so what we'll do is we're going to train you to do washouts. We'll get her in for the first surgery as soon as we can. We might be able to get it done in one surgery. I was like, oh, right, okay. He said, because it's short segment, we might be able to do it in one. We have done others in one before. She's not going to have to have a bag, nothing like that. So great. Oh, well, brilliant. If that's the case, absolutely fantastic. She ain't got the stuff like me and my dad have. So then we were sent home to do washouts for 7 weeks, I think it was. So then she went into hospital. She was in hospital. She was in there, I would say, for an hour, and we got the buzzer go off, come back. He said, no, he said, there's much more affected than what we originally thought. We've had to give her an ileostomy bag, you obviously know what an ileostomy bag, I assume. I'd only ever heard of colostomy. So I was like, what the hell's that? So he said, so basically where you have a colostomy on one side, you have the ileostomy. He said, we've had to put it in the bottom half of her small intestine, right at the bottom of her small intestine, right where her appendix is. I said, right. He said, because we don't actually know how much of the bowel is affected. I was like, right, well, how long is it going to take to get the next surgery? So we're going to have to do, we took biopsies all the way along it, and we'll see how much is affected. I was like, right, okay. So it took, I think she was born in March. She had her first surgery April, May. I think it was like the end of May. Yeah, it was the end of May. It's just for your birthday. So it was right at the end of May. And then she had her last surgery in October. So we had to sort out the ileostomy. Oh, they're a nightmare, aren't they? Colostomy bags, ileostomy bags. Oh, goodness me. Because obviously I had two daughters who are older. So I was doing school runs. And every time I went to go and leave a bag, it burst. And I had to get my neighbour to take the... Oh. So I know she had her second surgery. And he said 2/3 the same as you and your dad is affected. So we're going to have to remove it and then do the pull through. So that's what they did. She's really suffered, hasn't she? She's like I said, 13 now, but she was in naps until she was about 6 because she was just so incontinent. She just couldn't hold it in. She's obviously goes to school, but she has a lot of time off school. Because she gets lots of pains and stuff like that. She's still wearing pads to this day because she's still incontinent. She has to have lots of loperamide every day to make the, because her poo is so soft. So it kind of thickens it up a bit. Although I don't really notice, not that I look in her knickers anymore, she's 13, but she doesn't act any different. But and she also has to have a washout every day in the mornings. We've only been doing that now for about 3 years, I think. But then they wanted to do an ACE procedure on her because they said, we think that's going to keep her cleaner. Because obviously the peristing's okay, but it goes up the bum. Washing, it's not going to get all of it. If her bowel's full, it's not going to wash the whole lot out. And it's not keeping her clean. So we just said, surely an ACE right at the end of the large intestine to wash out from the top. It's going to be more effective.
Yep.
So we're waiting for that surgery at the moment. We were told she could have it, and with a year's wait in September, so hopefully it's from this September she can have it. But she really still really does suffer, poor little bugger, doesn't she? It really does. Like, on this Sunday, she can be the normal 13-year-old, typical moods, the whole shebang. And like, you wouldn't even, but literally that you wouldn't think, I mean, she's a normal height, she's a normal weight, everything. But she just, every day she's, oh, my stomach's really sore today, Mum. It's really sore today. And then I'll constantly text messages at school, while she's at school, because the school have been phenomenal. They are absolutely brilliant. I cannot fault them. They have given her a toilet. She has got, has a bag in student support that's full of clean clothes and extra pads and wipes and creams, because their bum can get really sore, because obviously the acid in the poo isn't being filtered out, so then that gets really sore. And because she's incontinent still, that it burns if she doesn't get to the toilet in time. So then leaves her with nappy rash, basically. I mean, she's 13 with nappy rash. I mean, that's ridiculous. But, you know, so then she has to put cream on that, and then she has to come home because the amount of times I get a phone call saying, can you come and get her? She's messed herself and she can't. It's too much to clean. So they give her the bag. She goes and sorts herself out. They've even said she can use the staff shower if she really needs to. So they've been amazing. I can't fault the school at all. She just misses a lot of school, which worries me. And she's now at her school. They do GCSEs for 3 years, not two. And she's now about to start them in September. And I'm a little bit worried she's going to suffer from it. She shouldn't do, but I am worried because the school are good and they'll send work home. And I'm an ex-teaching assistant, so they know that I can help her and set her up and everything like that. But she really just does suffer. And I just really hope the ACPC makes a difference, because it's just so she's clean at school. I think that's the biggest issue. It's just, I just want her to be clean at school, because she's had to deal with bullies, hasn't she? When she started junior school, she's now at high school, but when she was 7 or 8, she was in, I don't know how old they are when they start junior school, but you know what I mean, that age. And she went to the toilet with her bag, like she always would, went into a certain toilet. When she could hear loads of girls in the toilets. And when she came out, they were all crowded around the toilet door and going, oh, nappy girl, you have to carry a bag, you have to poo yourself. And they were all a year above her. Well, I worked with that year group and they all knew me. And they knew about her because she was at the school when I worked there. And luckily, one of their fellow students in the same year came in, caught them and went, and they all went running off. And she told all the teachers. Well, the teachers went mental, as you can imagine. Things with Jessica, we call them her moments. And she can't move. She literally is in so much pain. She cannot move. If she goes up to any sort of exercising, even if it's going for a family walk, she has to stop, cross her legs, and she has to squeeze someone's hand, and she gets bright red and sweaty. And so we had tests done at Royal London Hospital. It was her whole bowel, so she said, I want her to get it done. I have this to test her bowel, see what it is capable of. So it came back that she definitely will need an ACE eventually, which we've obviously, this was about 3 years ago we did this. And he said, the doctor came back and said, she's got a little bit of control, but there's not enough. And she's getting the pains that she's getting because she has got hypersensitive rectum. So she can literally have a 15 mil of poo in there. And she gets the pains. She feels like she's got to go. And she's got to go. But there's nothing there. There's not enough in there to get out. So then she's in pain. So that's why another reason why they want her to have the ACE procedure. Because they said that would hopefully empty the bowel completely. Stop those pains from happening. They don't know. They're not 100% sure it will work. But we're trying every single avenue. So that's like the last resort, really. Because what else can you do? Again, I said to her, you might just have to live with it. Because I get pains like that and I have to just live with it, you know. But, and I do try and drum into her, you just have to get on with it, sweetheart. I'll do everything I can to help you, obviously. You have to have medication, have it. If you have to have an anesthesia, that's up to you. You're 13, that's your choice. If you want it, have it. However, some things you're just going to have to live with.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to just push through it. When it comes to at work, when you go out to work one day, you are just going to, if you've got a tummy bone, you can actually have a day off for it. You've got to have to just live through it. Paracetamol does nothing. I don't know about you, but paracetamol, nothing.
Just say thank you very much to both of you, well, all three of you, for coming on and sharing. And I guess sort of, you know, future-wise, I know you've talked a lot about Jessica and about the ACE and about how that may go. And I guess it's for me to just say that I wish her all the best, very much so, with that.
Yeah.
And again, all three of you, with all of your Hirschsprungs, because again, and I wish you all the very best with the genetic testing as well, and all of the tests and whatnot that's going on. But yes, thank you all three of you so much for coming on.
Yeah, nice to have talk about you. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast or Instagram on Tom's _Hirschsprungs_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show and we'll bring you another episode soon.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.